everyone. Welcome to Romy and Dan's High School Reunion Podcast. Today, I'm delighted to have Irish step dancer and friend Maeve Croke. Hello, Maeve.
Hey, guys.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you. You guys?
Very well. It's good to have you here.
So, Maeve, I know Maeve because I took Irish step class with her.
Really?
Yes, I know. Very interesting. But Maeve was actually in the show Riverdance, the internationally acclaimed
Fantastic show.
Yeah.
But you had a very special role. You were dance captain?
Yeah, that's right. I was dance captain for the show. So I toured with them for 10 years. It felt like 30 seconds. It was like a blink of my eye. 10 years of my life are gone, all my 20s. But Riverdance is going to be 25 years going now this coming March, I believe. So it's crazy. Wow. It's still going and it's amazing.
Oh my gosh. And it's really gone internationally. You have people from all different cultures now participating. I think you took a video once and was it in China?
In China, yeah. I spent quite a bit of time in China. Actually, the show is very popular in China. Like it's toured there. I toured there for 6 months on three different occasions. So I spent like a year and a half in China and it's really, really popular. Like the fans there were crazy. I felt a bit like Riverdance is like the Beatles over in China. They're like running after you, knocking on the window of the bus saying, what's this step? What's that? Like, you know, really, they love it. They can't get enough of it. So it's crazy.
Yes. That's pretty fascinating.
It is. Now, I know Maeve, I've known Maeve to always be very humble. So I'm going to toot her a little bit because
toot away.
usually in any kind of show, and I knew this from knowing Broadway people and dancers, usually of course, everybody has to be very talented. The dance captain has to be the best. The dance captain is considered the best dancer.
No, thank you. That's
so
very
you were
sweet.
The best.
Well,
she is amazing.
No, I was surrounded by very, very talented dancers. I feel like everyone in Riverdance is like at the top of their game. So
Of course, yeah.
But being dance captain was, it was an amazing job. It was I really, really enjoyed it, but it was challenging and you have to know every single role. So you have to know, whereas if you're just the dancer, you're given your spot and that's your role, you know that. But I had to know everybody's role. So that was a little bit challenging, but I'm that's kind of my thing anyway. I loved that. I was really interested.
What was the purpose of you having to know everybody's role? Like as in you would fill in if something happened or you just, or do you direct?
Direct. So we took what we call troupe checks. So I would take that every evening at 5 o'clock. Everyone would come on stage and we would go through it. And if for some reason someone was injured, you might have to learn a new role or you might have to like switch things around a little bit. So you would have to be able to tell them and direct them basically and show them what to do. So, and anybody new that came into the show, I would train them in and teach them their steps.
Were you paid accordingly for your role?
Yes, I was.
Fantastic. That's what I like to hear.
Yes, I was.
Is this something that you were just chosen for?
Yeah, I was offered the job after being a troupe dancer for maybe 3 years, I think. Then I was offered the job.
Wow. Yeah. So in Broadway, that would be swing. There's a dance captain, but swing, you know everybody's role.
Everybody's role, right. Yeah.
Which is, by the way, why you have to be the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, but of course, they're all amazing.
That would have been, was that exhausting?
It was definitely challenging at times. Yeah. I remember for the 15-year anniversary, we put the show into Radio City and we had been on tour in the States for maybe 6 months before that, on a continuous tour for 6 months. But when we put the show into Radio City, we added like maybe 10 or 15 extra people because the stage in Radio City is huge and we wanted it to be a real spectacular show for the 15th anniversary. So it was like long, long nights, like sitting up. I actually had a co-dance captain, Marty Dowds, and he was kind of taking over the male side of it. And we worked really hard on it and the show was amazing. But I remember that night after opening night, we had like a massive party and I got there. I was there for like 5 minutes and I was like, I'm out. I am like so tired. You guys go rock it out, whatever. So I missed that part.
So no party dancing for you?
No, not that night. No. I wouldn't say completely.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll leave that part out, shall we? We'll leave that part out. So take us back to the very, very beginning, how this all came about for you, like how you decided to get into, this business.
Well, I danced my whole life competitively in Ireland. And like as a kid, when I was, there was no shows, there wasn't anything. Like, so as like when I was 10, 11, 12, if someone had said to me, this is what you're going to do, you're going to travel the world doing a show, me and my parents would have been like, yeah, in what world is that going to happen? Mm. So I think it was 94 that Riverdance did the Eurovision, and it was set up as just a 7-minute interval act.
Is that where it started?
That's where it started, Eurovision.
Oh yes. My God.
Yeah. So they did a 7-minute interval act, and the response to it was unbelievable. Like, it was unbelievable. And I actually remember watching it and I was just like, oh my God, what is this? Like, what is this? And from there, they decided to make Riverdance the show. So at that time, I think, I can't remember how old I was, but I was too young to go on that tour. So I was still in school. And then as soon as they opened up auditions, I remember going to Dublin and audition, and there was like several auditions like that. And they kept breaking it down. Like, I'm sure you guys, 1,000 people show up the first time, then it's down to 500, then it's down to 200, then and so on, you know. And eventually I got the call and they were like, you know, we want to take you on the road. And I went to Japan for 3 months.
Oh my God.
Wow. Sorry.
I was asking if that was an international call, because Michael Flatley and the lead female dancer, I forgot her
name. Jean Butler.
Yes, they were American.
They were American, yeah. I know, it was crazy actually. They, it was open to anybody.
Oh, okay.
It was open to anyone. And the cast of Riverdance and Lords of the Dance, which is actually Michael Flatley's show that he went on to do, is like there's tons of Australians, tons of English, tons of Irish, tons of American. Yeah.
Danish, we are just everywhere.
Yeah.
Dan is shaking his head.
I'm very proud of my
I've got tons of Australian friends.
River dancers.
Yes.
What type of dance were you, when you were younger, what type were you doing? Were you ballet or was it
all Irish. Just Irish. Yeah. Excellent. I wasn't trained in anything else.
Excellent. Okay, yeah. So you got the call, you ran off to Japan, and how did it develop from there? Like, tell us a little bit of the inside goss and stories.
Well, okay, so when I first went, I remember actually, it's not really an inside story, but I remember going, oh, can I please go? And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to go to college and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And here I am now. Like, that is exactly what happened. It was like, it was just a whirlwind, but it is going 25 years now. But like back then, we didn't anticipate how popular it was going to be. We kept thinking it's just going to be this tour and then it's going to die out. No one's going to care. Like, this is the last one. This is the last one. And like, it's still so popular. So yeah, we had a great time. Like, we had a cast of like 15 to 20 girls, maybe a little bit less boys, maybe like, if we had 20 girls, we probably had like 15 boys. So you can imagine. Yeah. So you can imagine what was going on. All these like 19, 20, 21 year olds. That was kind of the age. Traveling the world, doing what we love. Like,
Getting paid.
Not a care in the world. Like, not a care in the world. Getting on the bus on a Monday. This kind of sounds ignorant. And don't even know where you're going. You didn't even know where you were going sometimes.
There has to be some stories from that period of time. Come on. Tell the listeners.
Like, what kind of stories?
I don't know. There has to be some funny stories.
Funny stories.
Yeah. I mean, we've put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
I know.
Yes.
I might write a book called Sex, Drugs, and Riverdance. No.
Oh, really?
Yes, do that.
I think that would
you
sell.
You should totally do that. You should absolutely do that.
In fact, let's call this podcast Sex, Drugs,
and Riverdance. But we have to get some of those stories in there now.
Okay, so Maeve, go ahead.
All right. Yes.
No, there was definitely.
You don't have to use names.
No. But obviously, you put all these boys and girls together. Like, things are going to happen. There was definitely a bit of dating going on. There was definitely a bit of
sex going.
A little bit of shenanigans going on.
Young, fit people.
Yeah, totally. A little bit of maybe in one room at 12 o'clock in another room. This wasn't me. This was not me.
This sounds like the final couple of days of the Olympics, you know, when all the athletes have finished.
Oh, they go crazy.
Yeah, they've all finished their events. They're all super fit and they're like, all right, let's just have fun and party.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I guess that's it. Like, you work hard. Like, we worked hard at it. We were super fit. We were very professional. I will say that. Like, our shows were very professional, but like anybody, you have to leave your hair down, you know? So, and sometimes we would, like, in the beginning, we did kind of get special treatment. Like, we would get into clubs, VIP, and we would get, like, so Riverdance had a household name back then as well. It still does, but like, you know, we were definitely getting some kind of special treatment in places we went, and we loved it.
Yeah, as if you, as if you wouldn't love it. Oh my God.
So when did you, and just to add, you know, I was just thinking, you, as your role as dance captain, that kind of led you into teaching, because of course you have to teach the new ensemble coming in. And because you're a brilliant teacher.
Oh, thank you.
And just because you're a good dancer or good at anything doesn't mean you can actually teach it well. You are actually superb at it.
Thanks.
So how did, you're very welcome, but I mean it. How did that evolve?
I guess like it was just seemed like the natural next step for me. I mean, I never went to college. Like I never had that part. Like I had Riverdance, but even when I think about it now, had I have gone to college, I still think I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing. You know, I absolutely love it. I find teaching, I'm the happiest when I'm in the studio. Like when I'm in the studio teaching, that's when I'm at the most happiest. So it's, I guess I just feel really, really lucky that I'm able to do that. But I don't think I ever had like, this is what I'm going to do. It just kind of all folded out the way it was meant to, you know? It
goes back to Stephen Schlotti's conversation, how he was just open to things. What did he say that sometimes if you, it's good to have goals, but if you have expectations, sometimes that can block you or prevent what you're supposed to do or what you are good at or something?
Yes, something along those lines. Like if the expectations is like, that's the way it has to go. I have to go in this direction. Then you're shutting yourself off from all these other doors that you could be opening and things like that. And And it is cool that you're able to stay in the profession that you've been in for so long.
But it's been hard, like, as well. You know, I will say leaving Riverdance is very hard. It's very, very hard. And leaving any job you've been in for like 10 years. But like, it's like, it was that industry of someone taking care of you for 10 years, you just show up, you get on a bus, your timetable is taken care of, you stay in hotels, like everything was taken care of, you know? So that when I left Riverdance, I really felt I was 30 and I felt like I was 20. I was learning to be
interesting.
A person in my 20s when I was 30. So that's maybe the negative side of it, but I wouldn't change it. But that's basically how I felt. Like I definitely had 2 years where I had to like, learn to be an adult in my 30s.
Talk about that transition. How was that transition?
It was hard. It was really hard. And I talk about this with my friends and my colleagues that have been in Riverdance, and they all said the same. They've all gone through it, and we now openly talk about it. And it's a really, really hard transition. And you're so programmed to do the same thing all the time. And you're also missing, what job do you have every night where you're standing in front of thousands of people and they're like giving you a standing ovation? And then you're like, okay, where's that? Where's
thrill.
That high?
Yeah. Where is euphoria?
Yeah.
Being on stage. Yeah. Do you miss that, Dan, being on stage and having that?
I haven't been on stage for a while, but there is nothing like it. I mean, not of that level. Like especially when the audience is with you and going
absolutely.
Along with you and you know, and they genuinely love what you're doing. It is a massive thrill. It's like, you know, I guess what rock stars go through all the time.
What did you do on stage? Sorry.
Oh, I actually did an Irish play.
Oh.
Yes, Beauty Queen of Lanann.
Wow.
And I did that many, many years ago.
I was going to joke and say he was like a Magic Mike person.
But
he came in too fast with the
What is it? Aussie Thunder or Aussie from Down Under or something like that? Yeah, the Thunder from Down Under or something along those lines.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Thunder from Down Under.
That'll be
our next podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That makes me think, has Riverdance done LA residency? I mean, Las Vegas residency?
No.
Jeez, that'd be some money making right there if they did that.
Lord of the Dance has, which is the competitor show, I guess they have. Yeah.
Is Michael Flatley still involved with Riverdance?
No. That came about very early on. He actually, I believe, never even danced with Riverdance. The night before Riverdance was to go live in London for the first time ever, I don't know if he resigned or if he got fired. I can't quite remember, but they fell out.
Ooh. What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, tell us that story.
Come on.
Yeah. Everybody knows this story.
No,
I don't.
Yeah.
We don't.
I think he wanted more. He wanted more money. He wanted more royalties or something. And then he actually never danced the lead at Riverdance, and he went on to open his own show called Lords of the Dance.
Wait, but I remember having a video. I saw a video, and I think it was Riverdance, and he was with Gene Butler.
That was probably the Eurovision that you saw.
So he was a part of the first Eurovision.
He was the main person in the Eurovision.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So you met him, I'm sure you've
Yes,
met
I've
him.
Met him, yeah.
Is he a nice guy?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy, yeah.
He's a brilliant dancer.
He's a brilliant dancer. He is an absolute brilliant dancer. But there are tons of brilliant dancers. And there's a little thing of being in the right place at the right time. And he was the right guy at that time. Yeah. But there has been so many more, not more, but there are so many as talented male dancers out there now. In fact, the dancers that are dancing now is progressing so much because of Riverdance. It is insane. The kids are like Olympic athletes. They are Olympic athletes.
And you...
Let me tell you how hard this is. Yes,
I'm not denying that it's hard.
No, no. Sure, let me explain to you.
I can't dance to save my life.
Because I started out doing ballet and tap. And I thought...
Well, ballet is hard enough.
Yeah, this is harder. Because there's soft shoe and there's hard shoe. Hard shoe is more like tap. And there were times when Maeve would say, do treble step. And I would equate it. I wasn't quite understanding it. Yeah. I said, oh, it's like a shuffle, this, that, whatever. I don't even remember now. But I haven't done either in a while. And then the soft shoe is very balletic.
Yes.
And the turn... Okay, so, I mean, it's hard to... I don't know how to quite verbalize. Maeve helped me out because ballet is fifth position.
Fifth position, yeah.
But in Irish dance... Your legs are their toes are facing
you're crossed at your knees.
Crossing your
so
knees.
So for ballet, you're more wide at your knees, but your feet, you're still turned out, but you're more crossed at the knees.
How is the body holding up? Because I dare say that will be damn brutal for doing that for so long.
Yes. I was lucky enough. I didn't have a ton of injuries, but I take a lot of ballet bar now at the That's what I do to condition myself. And I think that really prevents injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, because Riverdance is still only 25 years, I feel like we are kind of the guinea pigs. So who's to say when I'm 50 that I'm not going to need both hips and both knees replaced?
Well, let's fingers crossed that you will not have to hear go down that route.
You don't want to hear me walk up a set of a flight of stairs or get out of bed in the morning.
Like I did obviously no dance whatsoever, but just from my sporting background in my youth, I'm walking upstairs like,
The
knees pop when I bend down and all that sort of stuff. It's just the lower back. I do not like getting old.
Yeah, I don't like getting old, but you have to take care of yourself. So I work out.
How do you stay fit? Tell us how you stay fit because you are very fit. Teaching, obviously, but also.
Yeah, I'm quite an active teacher. I work out with kids a lot. So I do a lot of extra, I don't just teach dance. I do a lot of aerobic work with them, a lot of strength training. And I take ballet bar classes. I love it. I'm really obsessed with that class.
and how are you as a teacher? Are you like, stop doing that? That's wrong. No. Get out of the classroom. Nothing like that?
No, she is.
Like a chef?
I'm going to spill some beans here because I was in the adult class and there were definitely some personalities.
Yes.
And Maeve was, she's looking at me like, yep.
Can't do that and not tell me about those personalities.
They were just a bit diva-ish. And competitive when they shouldn't have been competitive.
Spill
I was
the
there
beans.
To have fun. It's just, I will just say one girl, and there were two girls. You know who I'm talking about. There were two. I don't know. They might still be taking
class. No, I don't think
you.
So.
Then you can tell us all about.
I don't actually remember their names. But I just remember one, she was a bit loopy. She had taken Irish dance as a kid. And so she was already at a certain level coming in. And she just...
Yeah.
Come on. I want to hear this. I want to hear this juicy gus.
Yes, she was entitled.
Okay. Yeah, like, as in came from an entitled background or just like,
no,
I'm the best.
Like, I am the best.
Yeah.
And it was a little ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's the attitude I have with everything.
Well, yes, but when you teach an adult Irish dance class, I really enjoy teaching adult Irish dance because it shouldn't be that competitive.
Fun.
It's fun. It's like... You know, I love chatting with everyone. How's your week? What's going on? And then we dance a little, then we chat a little. Like, that's what an adult class should be. You get fit. Like, okay, my kids are like competitive. That's a different ball game. So like, yeah, I'm not super strict in the adult class.
Oh, but she was so lovely. You could not tell she felt anything apart from just being a good teacher with those people. Whereas I'd be like...
While inside, I'm like, shut up!
I know, because we would go out for... We would talk amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And be like, oh my God, she's crazy. She's driving me crazy.
There are so many conversations that you two have had that I would love to hear right now. There's got to be something. Come on.
I think I was a lot cattier than... Maeve's always been very professional, but for
I can,
me...
I completely can see that. I can completely
see that.
I'm sure
a lot of people can. But for me, it's because it was ruining the experience for me. I wasn't there to compete.
Yeah.
I was there to get fit, have fun, learn a new skill, and it was fun. And they started to make the class unfun. And the attitude, they would throw me shade.
Yeah. I was starting to remember now. This was a while ago, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Even longer, 4 years ago, 2013.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to say, even longer, 20 years ago.
20 years
like,
ago.
Whoa. It went from 3 to 20 years.
But almost like, and I had to take myself out of the game because you were there when I tore the ligaments in my foot.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Everybody heard that crack. I thought I'd broken my foot.
Oh, my gosh.
And the music was playing and they were, because we were all preparing for a fesh the very next day.
Yeah.
You guys had to convince me, you know, to go to the compete in the fesh. And I was like, no. And then I said, okay, I'll do it. I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
And do it for the experience. And then I leapt into the air during the rehearsal. And all I remember is the pain and the crack over the music. And everybody
heard.
It was that loud.
Oof.
Wow.
And, oof, yeah, I've never done that. I've never done anything of that.
I went to get x-rays and the doctor said, good news, it's not broken. Bad news, you tore all the ligaments in your left foot and it'll take longer to heal.
Yes. Yeah, that's worse, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
that's is. Worse, yeah.
I still feel it to this day.
Yeah, I believe it, yeah.
That was back in 2013.
What injuries did you get? Like you said, you didn't really have that many major ones, but...
I didn't really have anything major. In fact, even as a kid, I've never broken a bone, nothing. I've been really, I'm the worst patient because of it. Once I broke
wood.
A bone.
Oh,
so, once.
Wood.
Sorry,
okay.
I'm going to tell you the story.
I'll
tell you the story because it's funny. So,
it was your pinky, right? It wasn't even.
It was my wrist. So I was side stage. I was side stage in Riverdance with about 30 seconds to go on for the first number. And I just, as I normally do, I hold onto the stairs and I like kick my leg up to just stretch out. And I kick my leg up and I flung myself backwards and I broke my wrist.
Oh. And did
of
you
all
go
the things.
On?
No, I didn't go on. But the next night I did. They put a cast on my hand and I went on the next night.
Because you just have to keep it to your size, really.
Yeah,
your
so there
arms.
Was a couple of numbers I couldn't do. But for the most part, I did it, yeah. Oof. Oh, by the way, you know what it's like in show business. The show must,
show
go,
must
on.
Go on.
Show must go on. That is professionalism.
That
no,
is.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my acting teachers said that her mother passed away. And that night after the funeral, like she went... back on stage and she was like, you know, really upset, but she's like, oh, I have to go through.
Yeah.
So it, you know.
Yeah. And I suppose that that's another side of touring people don't see. So like I missed out. Sometimes my grandmother passed away and I was in Mexico. I couldn't get home. Like I missed my mom's 60th. I missed my sister's 21st. I missed family weddings, occasions. Like when you're on a tour like that, like there is no time off. Like you have to, that's the sacrifice you make, you know, for traveling the world, doing what you love, but you can't just take time off.
Can it be lonely?
Yeah, anywhere can be lonely, I think, but...
apparently not for some of the cast who were just getting it on.
Going from door to door to door to door.
Yeah. No, I think you're surrounded by so many people and everybody... I wouldn't say you have cliques, but everyone finds their group because everybody... some people like to... There was the group that liked to get up in the morning and go and explore the city. There was the group that liked to explore the city at night and stay out late and sleep all day. Mm. Everybody had their own like group that they hung out with. And, you know, you made lifelong friends. Like the people that I made friends with in Riverdance are like really like my family. Like there is, there's no comparison. They are the same because you spent all this time with them, like in their space, you know?
And what clique was that called? What was your clique called?
You're still trying to get some dirt out of me.
Yeah, I am. I'm gonna keep trying until we finish this podcast.
I was the one that went and said my prayers that night, went to bed, got off the next morning.
That just means went you to the were gym. The worst. That means you were the worst.
I remember getting wine with you and Katarina. Stop it. Actually, I don't remember you guys getting drunk, so she's always been very ladylike, actually.
What?
Oh, see?
Thank you.
Maybe you were just trying to be that, because at the time,
I think
I was still your student. No. So I think there was this, maybe you had to be.
No, I think I like I said earlier, I'm a firm believer, work hard, play hard, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, have some fun. Don't take life too seriously.
Did it get very competitive on the tour? Because I see that I was on tour with actors during the national tour. And trust, there were cliques, but there was definitely a lot of hate.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, that guy drives me crazy. I'm going to kill him if I have to listen to his mouth one more. That happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So, people would get under your skin and different personalities are not for everyone, you know? So there would be some little tiffs here and there. There was a lot of joking going on. There'd be a lot of pranks going on backstage. Yeah. People would be hiding in the wardrobe boxes and jumping out on people and throwing tape at each other. There was a lot of silliness going on. But there's always competitiveness in any kind of sport. And everybody has an ego. When you're really good at something, everyone has a little bit of an ego, right? So but someone said to me, learn from everyone. If you're with the best of the best, you can learn something from everyone. And that's really what I kind of tried to follow the whole time I was there. And I would dance with people backstage and we would just have fun. And I really tried to learn from everyone because everyone was amazing. And I think it really helps me because I think whatever dancer I was before I went in the show, I think I became a better dancer because of the people I was around. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good way to... Did your mother teach you or father teach you that? That's a very good way to view things.
Yeah.
Principles,
yeah. Yeah, it was a friend that said it to me, actually. I'll never forget it, so yeah.
Do you still talk to Katarina?
I do. I literally was speaking to her before I got out of the car.
Oh my gosh, please give her my love.
Yeah.
Because she's not here anymore, is she?
She is a fashion designer. So listening to this
podcast, plug away.
Katarina Coyne Fashions, and she's doing amazing. And she does really, really nice feminine, chic clothing. Yeah, for nice occasions.
She was getting into that because what she used to do before, she used to sew and design the costumes for some of her students.
Because
you started the school together with Katarina. That's how I got in, was because of Katarina.
Yeah.
Because I knew Katarina before I knew Maeve. And both, I mean, I love you guys both so much. And both amazing teachers, both different. They balanced each other out.
Yeah.
And, but I remember thinking she was getting really interested in that.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know how much longer she would continue. So when she decided to leave and pursue that, is she back in Ireland now?
So she's back in Ireland right now. And she's doing really, really well with her label and it's taken off for her and she's doing, she's dressing a lot of Irish celebrities and she really loves it. Wow. So, yeah.
So how was that for you taking up?
Yeah, it was overwhelming. It was overwhelming in the beginning.
So she was the captain?
No, this was, sorry, we had the Irish dance school here in Los Angeles together
after
Riverdance. But we were friends in Riverdance. That's how we met. And we were best friends. We still are today. And her husband is actually the drummer on Riverdance. So she moved back to Ireland to be with her husband and set up her fashion label. Mm-hmm. So, and I stayed here in Los Angeles. And it was a little overwhelming, but I just ran with it. I just you know, full steam ahead. I really loved it. Like I said, I love teaching. So I was like, here goes, you know.
And now your fiancé, is he American based?
Or? No, he's Irish.
Oh,
I know.
But he lives in Ireland? No, he lives here now.
He actually was living in Canada.
Okay. Actually,
I'm thinking of.
I think you had just met him when you weren't together with him at the time. I remember you said you had met a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's all good. And she's engaged to him now.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations. I can see the rock right there.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
I know.
Bling, I'm getting married in Ireland on December 14th.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
And so is he now moving here?
He is in the process of getting his visa. So hopefully by July, he'll be here in Los Angeles.
Do you miss Ireland?
I do miss Ireland. I do, but I love California. I love LA. I love the opportunities here and I love the people here. And I'm like, I have no, I don't think I'll be moving home anytime soon. Yeah.
Will you, do you think you may like retire there or anything of that nature? Or is it just the weather's too good there?
Yeah. I mean, never say never. Yeah. I love it. I really, really love it. But, I just always had this desire as a kid. Like I remember being so young, even before Riverdance, I was obsessed with America. I like had this, the American dream and all that.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. You felt that even when you were
yeah, I did.
Very young.
Yeah.
So you were
meant like,
to
pack
so-
my suitcase.
So this was always a goal to come here.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. And Riverdance obviously facilitated.
Yeah. Riverdance facilitated it. And, I spent 5 years with, I toured Europe for about 5 years and Asia. And then I ended up doing the last 5 years here in the States and got my green card and the rest is.
Would you go for citizenship?
Yes, I will very soon. I think they can't kick me out.
So you are actually prepared to take the test?
Yeah.
You'll know more than probably the majority of Americans do.
We just had this conversation with somebody recently.
Oh, really? Yep. Oh, I don't know. Please don't ask me any questions.
No, I don't know. Like, because this year I can go for citizenship as well.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah, I haven't decided whether or not I'll do it. But I had a look at the 100 questions that they will pick from. And I'm like, oh my God, like it's so much. But also, it's like the majority of people that I've spoken to are like, I wouldn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And it'd be the same for people who are becoming citizens of Australia. I wouldn't know half the questions that they ask on the citizenship test. So,
I had to retake my driving test because I got a ticket and to avoid the point. Oh. And I learned so much. And I was like, they changed a lot of these rules.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, honestly, I think this is why people are such bad drivers. There are times when I think I'm breaking the rules driving here. Realizing that I'm not breaking the rules anymore, then other things were that used to be legal, not legal anymore.
Yeah.
And so, but that's how I'm just like, okay, I know so much more now.
Yeah.
It's because I had to relearn it.
I learned from, I mean, it's probably not the best way, but when I first got here, watching how other people drove, and that's how I learned a lot of the rules.
Oh, like, no, don't follow people here.
No, I know, but I know. That's why I said it's probably not the best thing to do.
That's not the
but,
best thing.
No, but you know how you like you pull up, and when the light goes red, the two cars are able to turn left in the intersection. Do you know that part there?
Yeah, that's like, on the test.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how I first learnt by like, okay, these people do this, right? I'll do that now and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember taking my driving test a couple of years ago and I was so nervous. I felt like I was 16 again. It really, and the people, the car in front of me and the car behind me were like, you know, 15 or 16 year old kids.
Yeah.
And like I saw one girl who failed and she started crying and her mum came over and I'm like, oh my God. This 36 year old guy's like,
I was the same. I was actually the same when I took mine because obviously when you come over here, you have to take your test again. And I took my test and everyone's like 15, 16, 17. It's amazing that they drive so early, so young here and it's encouraged, you know?
Yeah.
No, but I drove out of the testing center and there was a stop sign.
Did you roll through it?
Did you fail immediately?
You rolled through it, didn't you?
I rolled through it, I guess. But literally the woman goes to me and this is what I could not believe. She's like, I'm sorry, I have to fail you because you California rolled. And I was like, what even is that?
Mm.
That's what they call it, right? When you roll, you don't stop for 3 seconds.
You have to. But that's in every state, I think, in the United States. And I was told this. I said, they might try to trick you. And there's a stop sign. They might say, oh, just go ahead.
Yeah.
Do not stop. Look to your left. Look to your right, look to your left again, and then go. And my driving instructor did say that. I was approaching a stop sign and he goes, oh, you're good to go.
And you stopped.
And
That's wrong. I just think that's wrong, especially if you're saying that to like a 15 or 16 year old kid, like a very impressionable 16 year old kid. That's wrong to do, to trick them that way.
Yeah.
Like you getting failed, I'd be kind of like, if I was the instructor, I'd be like, look, you're supposed to stop for 3 seconds. Yeah. Do that from now on, but I'm not going to completely waste your time right now.
Or just get, you get a point or two taken off, but not fit. So you had to retake it.
But then she said to me, she goes, that was when you were leaving the center, but everything else was great. So just come back tomorrow and do it again. And I was like, what?
No.
So I literally went back the next day, took the test again and passed.
Well, congratulations.
The stop sign is one of those things that they are very harsh about, yeah, very strict.
I do remember when I was taking mine back in Australia, that was a big thing that a lot of people got, was the stop sign leaving the center.
Yeah.
So many people messed up that because they just were so nervous.
I have a question, because this is actually something that we will be speaking on with a group of girls. And actually, if you're free, I'd love to have you come on for that too. But we are talking about body image and weight, and how the pressures right now I have on a bunch of actresses coming in, and the pressures that we feel about. And I want to know, in your world, how that has affected you, if you were pressured, even when you were young, starting Irish dance, if your teacher said, hey, to do this, you're great, but you have to be a certain weight, et cetera. This is the ideal look. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I wouldn't, I definitely would say that we were never pressured. We were never pressured as part of professional dancers to be a certain way. However, when you look around the room, everybody was a certain way. So that in itself is pressure that you maybe put on yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
So when I look back at pictures of me when I was in the show and stuff, I'm like, oh my God, I was really fit. And then, but at that time I didn't know it, but everyone, you were just surrounded by people. And I think that's what it is.
The environment you keep.
And I think teaching people not to put pressure on themselves, that's the biggest thing. Because I don't know if it is, I think times have changed a lot, and I don't know if it really is professional dancers. And I think in the model industry, and I think things have changed a lot, and we're not getting pressure so much from the top anymore. I think we're getting it from ourselves.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I'm watching movies and TV now, and quite gleefully, I'm noticing that people are not sticking sex.
Mm. Well, yeah. So it's changing now, you know, and that's good. It's much better. Like in the media, on TV. Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It has to be about the level of skill. Like that's the most important thing, is like,
if you
can actually do this. Cause I know a number of girls who did ballet for most of their life, and a lot of them developed disorders from that, because I think it might be different now, but the pressure of you have to have that particular shape and it has to look a particular way. And so therefore you have to look this particular way, like especially when in regards to weight and things like that.
It definitely still exists in some worlds, because I mean, ballet, for instance, if you're going to be you might be partnered up with a guy and it'd be easier for him to lift 100 pounds than 150 pounds.
Yeah.
And I felt that pressure when I was doing circus.
Yeah.
And that I decided I was going to double up with a girl. And we were told, you have to be approximately, who's the catcher? And and so she would be catching me. She'd be holding me.
Yeah.
So I had to at least, and she was skinny, I had to be her weight. She had to be able to lift me.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be balanced. So it had to be that, or I had to be lighter, and that was it. And so it wasn't so much aesthetic, but it was definitely physics.
Yeah.
And then I think that exists.
But then the aesthetics comes from that, but people then just see the aesthetics. Do you understand what I mean?
Well, people would just see the aesthetics, but I don't think the aesthetics come from that.
No, I mean, if you had to be a particular weight or something like that in order to, so you both are the same weight, and then you look a certain way because you've lost that particular weight. And then people from the outside are the ones that go, oh, you have to look like that in order to be able to do that. And that's where the pressure comes from.
Yes and no, because I'm 5'6", so I had to be around 115 or something, which is pretty skinny. But let's suppose I was 5 foot. 5 foot, 5 foot at 120 is different from 5'6".
Yeah.
Because I've definitely seen some stockier acrobats for that reason. So, but yes, I understand what you're saying. The perception of, if you are, then it comes from, they have to look a certain way.
Yeah. Without, because people don't know the intricacies of it all. But I think it's
a misconception. If you want to be an athlete, and if you want to be a dancer or a ballet dancer, and you manage it right, there is the responsibility that if you are going to be a dancer, you have to be body conscious in a healthy way. Like, you cannot just eat whatever you want because that's not part of the job. But it doesn't mean you have to develop an eating disorder. So it's like, if you want to be an actor, you have to learn this script for your job. So if you're a ballet dancer, you know, you do have to have the right body type as part of the job. But as long as we manage it right, and I think now there's so much more awareness around nutrition and like people fueling their bodies better. All of that has changed. So I'm hopeful that it's a better environment for young people. I really am, you know. And as a teacher, I talk to my kids about fueling their body and about being fit and about, you know, eating right. Like, what gives you the most energy on the day of a competition? Like, it's not going to be unhealthy foods. But I'm not telling you need to lose weight. I'm telling you fuel your body right to give yourself energy.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, that's the correct way to to go about it.
Well done for you going about it that way, because when I started in ballet, I was told something quite different.
Well, yeah. Cocaine and water.
Yes, and I was 5 years old. Exactly.
Jesus, started young then. My God. My God.
Or
do they just give you lots of Coca-Cola? Because remember, Coca-Cola started off with cocaine in it?
Yes.
You didn't know that?
That's why it's called Coke.
Yeah, that's why it's called Coke. Coca-Cola.
No, it's not.
Cocaine. No, I swear.
Oh my God.
It's a leaf.
I'm not too sure, but I just, because I've seen all these old school advertisements from, you know, back in the day, and like they used to put not cocaine or something on like baby's gums or something like that.
Something like that.
And then Coca-Cola had cocaine in it.
Oh my God.
I think.
And that's why everybody loves Coke so much.
Yeah, that's right. I think there was ads for heroin or something. I'm not too sure. But
Morphine. It was all medicinal.
Yeah.
They didn't really know.
No.
So
look it up. You'll have a fantastic time.
No.
Or watch Drunk History, because they did a skit on this.
I
remember seeing it. It was hilarious. Have you ever watched Drunk History?
No, I haven't.
I've seen bits and pieces, but I don't know the one you're talking about.
It's hilarious. They have a bunch of actors come on and they redo the story. They put on a little act.
Yeah. Do they put it on as they're drunk?
The person who's telling the story, the narrator, is drunk.
Oh.
And so the actors have to follow
the narrator.
What they're doing. And so there was one, oh God, I forgot her name, but I just remember she hiccuped through it. And you saw the actor, and it was Bill Hader who did this hiccup. All of a sudden he's speaking and he goes, and you see him, you know, gesture that he's hiccuping because she was.
Not improvised, but do they, like the audio is played and then the actors have to kind of go with the audio, or is it pre-planned?
I would think it's pre-planned or no, I think there might have to be some audio because
some of the improvisation would be great.
Yeah, because it's really, they really get down very specific.
Yeah.
Or dog barking and then they react. So they must have some. I would love to know, because that is just one of my favorites, the funniest TV show.
Totally. What do you have any favorite shows or movies or anything like that at the moment, or you're just so busy with teaching kids and adults how to river dance?
No, I mean, I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan.
What are you going to do now?
I know.
Don't get Romy started about that. Oh my God.
I was sending Dan memes, funny memes, like with Gwendolyn Christie writing in her book, and it was the burn book, you know, the fugliest skank bitch.
Yep, all that sort of stuff, fun stuff.
I kept on sending I don't know whether I should go back and rewatch. I just feel a little empty now that it's done.
Or read the books. I heard there's a ton more detail in the books.
There is. Yes. I read the books up until a certain point and then I just stopped because, I mean, the books are like 5 inches thick now. And so it's time consuming.
How many more has he got left? How many more books has he got to write? Or is it just one more?
I think it's just one, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think one, maybe two.
And you say you're a huge Game of Thrones fan.
TV fan.
Fair enough. So Game of Thrones, what else? What else do you like?
What else?
Tell the listeners.
Oh, I love Billions.
Oh, I actually haven't seen that.
Oh, I love Billions.
Yeah. I haven't seen that either.
Yes, that's a good one.
I'll have to look at that one.
I love...
I do love Paul Giamatti, so...
Yes. Yeah. That's it, really, I think.
So two shows.
Two shows. I finished Game of Thrones. I don't watch it. Oh, I love Dancing with Stars. I love it. I love it so much. I can't wait for that to come back on. So, I'd love to be on it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you should be
you
on
should
it.
You should try. Like, how do you go about that? Or is that not...
I don't know. Anyone listening?
So do you need to have a wide
I think you have to have other,
variety of...
Yeah.
Dance kind
but
of
But I mean,
moves.
I'd throw myself in and learn it.
Yeah. I mean, do you find that you would pick other dancers up really quickly from your experience?
I'd say so, but I still think it would be challenging enough, you know, but I'd say I'd have more of an advantage than
yes, because of
most people, you know.
Because you know how to learn choreography.
Yeah.
They should totally, you should pitch like
yeah.
1 week is Riverdance week.
Yes.
And then have just all river dancers come in and do all that sort of stuff.
You know,
I don't know why they haven't done that right now. Come on, Dancing with the Stars.
There were times on the Riverdance show that there were tap dancers, American tap dancers there. And then I just remember, after I started learning from you, I went and I was YouTubing some of those moments and some things I couldn't see before. I just, knowing both sets of skills now as, you know, doing hard shoe, Irish step and tap dancing. And it's so true because the Americans are just very loosey-goosey and then and they can't quite get it's not stiffness, but you know that, you know what I'm talking about, the rigidity of, and then I saw, so they were just kind of all over the place, as I was when I do that. And then you have the Irish step dancers being a little too rigid. But they were what I thought was amazing because they are similar.
Oh, they're very similar,
Very similar.
Yeah, very, very similar. The form of having your body stiff, I was actually just asked this question the other day. I gave a talk for the Study Abroad program in Glendale and they were asking me, where does it come from? And I'm like, I actually don't even know where it comes from. But people, there's like...
Do you mean where the dance comes from? Or
well,
is all...
why you wear so...
The torso arms. Are...
What's the reasoning behind it? And I've heard like it's because the nuns used to teach it back in the day in Ireland and they wanted it to be more stricter and like just like only from your like legs down, just moving and don't enjoy yourself too much, you know. But honestly, there's not that much other reasons.
Really, there's not too much history about it.
Yeah, there's not. The history is quite vague even for Irish dancing, like how it all started.
Surely it'd have to be some like storytelling because that's... Ireland is phenomenal when it comes to storytelling.
Like, totally. Like music and dance is like huge, huge in Ireland. And that's actually my favorite thing about Ireland. You know, it's so steeped in culture. But like if someone says, where did it start? Like there's stories that, you know, as different settlers, like the Druids and the Normans, like thousands of years ago came, that they did folk dancing. And then it just kind of evolved. But you can't quite pinpoint like where it started, you know. But... this coming March in Dublin is going to be the 50th anniversary of the World Irish Dance Championships. So it's 50 years since it kind of became quite competitive. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a big deal. So they're hosting the 2020 Worlds in the Dublin Convention Centre. So I'm excited for that.
Are you going?
I hope so, yeah. I have to qualify some kids first, but hopefully.
Well, you get on their asses. Yeah. Make them good.
You definitely
crack the whip.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still teaching, but they're probably... 20 now, but there's some really good ones. Mm-hmm. I just remember, and they were just I just remember a little boy as well.
Yes,
is he still with
you?
He's
still there. Yeah, Jess.
Yeah, how is he?
He's good. He's really good.
He was so cute, Dan.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, he was just starting, and he was just adorable.
Yeah.
You had some kind of party, and it was somewhere in North Hollywood.
Yeah, I throw a party every now and then.
And they were
it's all right,
so,
kids.
Can I tell you how much
have
fun
some Coca-Cola.
No, because then people and I remember. You had taught Katarina was still there, and she had taught some kids to do some river dance steps from the show.
Yeah,
and that was just amazing to watch, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah,
So I actually I will be teaching here 5 years this July. That's when I started school. It was 5 years ago, and I just opened my own studio. I don't know if you've been to the studio. Actually,
I have not.
Yeah, so I opened my own studio last April. So it's been a really great 5 years. And I host a competition now as well in Anaheim every October. So like everything's progressing in the right way and it's getting bigger, and having the studio is like another kind of tick off the box, you know, like I've always wanted to have my own studios, my own space. I can just go there whenever I want. And it's like, yeah, I love that.
It seems to be a common theme with you. It's like, you know, things just, you know, happened and went there and went the right way and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And
well,
there we go.
Well, I think what I'm hearing,
I mean, it's okay. You know, like it's awesome. I mean, not saying there was no hard work.
There was a lot of hard work. There's been a lot of sweat and tears. But
what I think that I'm hearing from you, like I heard, like we heard from Stephen, is that you have your goals and you want to get there, but unlike other people who plan how to get there, you're just going to say, I'm going to get there.
Yeah,
this is what I'm hearing from you.
It's a good attitude to have.
Yeah, totally. And it's like you have to kind of open yourself up to anything and everything, really. And like I wasn't like, I'm going to open my studio in March of this year. I was just kind of looking around and then I was like, I'm not ready. And I wasn't even ready at the time, but the space that came up was perfect for me. It was affordable. So then I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it. But like, that wasn't my goal. Like I say tick off the box, but I'm really not that type of person that is like, these are the things I'm going to do in the next 5 years. Like I'm jealous of those people that have the 5-year plan because I'm not that structured, but I'm, you know, just,
well, some people who have the 5-year plan don't make their goals within the five years.
Yeah.
And that is because they plan on how they're going to do it. If it doesn't seem like it's going the right way, then
Yeah, because I think it has to go a very specific kind of way.
Control freaks. You're not a control freak.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, as I say, like when you have a, like you thought of it. And so if you want to think of it this way, like in the universe's mind, oh, that's the goal that you want to have. And then it presented you with the opportunity and you could have easily gone, no.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, you don't want that then. But you just took it and then boom.
Yeah.
Like it just kind of went. I think that's what a lot of people need to do is, or is, what is it, Richard Branson? He says, you know, say yes and then learn how to do it later.
Yes.
Jerry Weintraub used to say that as well. Yeah. Say yes. He actually never heard a no. When people used to say no to him, he said he only heard a maybe could be turned into a yes.
Yeah. Well, I find that like me and Katarina actually used to say this in our first year I've been out here. We were like, we need our own reality show because the situations we found ourselves in, like we were saying yes to everything. Because LA is hard, right? LA is hard to make a living here and make a go of it in the first couple of years. So we were just like, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. And I would be like, oh my God, where am I? Like, what am I doing? Like recently I just called this Kaylee. Someone called me and they were like, can you call a Kaylee? And I was like, okay. And then I drove to this like $1 million home in PV and it was amazing.
What's a Kaylee?
It's a Kaylee where like you take the mic and you instruct everyone to dance. And it was this party. Oh. And I just went with it.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It was a lot of fun. But like I was teaching all day on Saturday. I got the call and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to do it. But I didn't like sit down and plan out how I was going to do it. I just found myself there and I was like, right.
Well, it's kind of how like we've been doing this podcast. Like, yeah, we do a little bit of research, but everything's kind of just come together and then things will pop up and go, okay, no, let's go for that.
Yeah, just run with it.
And if something doesn't go our way, like, oh, that's fine. Let's just keep going. And it's been, even though it's been, I guess, stressful, not necessarily stressful.
No, we've just been busy.
There's a lot of loose ends
we always have to tie that I think people just think we just talk. There's so many
things that we do.
The nice thing about Dan and I is that we are very balanced. We both have weaknesses and strengths, but they're both different from each other. So we balance each other out very much.
Yeah, and
it's a good team.
When I look back on like what we've accomplished, I'm like, no, that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like we didn't, like, I mean,
that's because we didn't rush it.
Yeah.
We didn't actually, in fact, we never said we're going to have it by this date.
No.
We're going to do it. We said we're going to chip at it little by little every single day.
Yeah.
And so he would say, do you have time to FaceTime for 5 minutes tomorrow and let's talk about it. And then we do a little more. And all of a sudden, here we are with the equipment, talking to people.
That's amazing.
And launching.
Chatting with your lovely self.
And
about
it's fun.
Like, about Riverdance. Like, I would not in my, like, mind.
On this random Thursday.
Yeah. Just think about how, you know what? Let's chat about this. And it's fascinating because you get to learn all these cool things about people's lives and stuff like that. And you know, I'm still going to try and find those stories from you.
I think you should try an Irish set. That would be fun if you came to class.
That would be embarrassing for everyone concerned.
No, let me just tell you that it is probably the best workout ever. The strength, the cardio, the oh my God, the endurance that I was not expecting.
Yeah.
Where I was coming out. Were the classes like an hour and a half?
An hour.
Yeah. And I was drenched head to, my hair was wet.
Yeah.
It was like that.
Not in LA. And I was
No, what I mean is like I've been a very active person since I was young. And I've never just walked out of a 1 hour unless it was like a full on aerobics hot yoga. But just in an air conditioned room, Irish tap dancing, and I and my fingers are shriveled like I had been taking a bath.
Yeah. I'd die.
No, you wouldn't.
I'd die. Maeve
and I would definitely tape you and make fun of you later. Yeah, yeah. But you'd have fun.
It's fine. It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine, guys. Make fun of me. Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. I'm trying my best. And then you guys just love me. That's okay.
Because you're a boy and girls like to make fun of boys.
Yes.
Tell us about, go ahead and the Celtic Irish Dance Academy.
Oh, yeah. So Celtic Irish Dance Academy, that's my school here. Like I said, 5 years. My studio is on Vineland Avenue, right behind Burbank Airport. And I have about 50 students, I'd say.
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's really grown from...
Yeah, yeah.
My God. Well done.
Yeah, it's going good. Next week I'm going... Actually, Sunday. Today's Thursday. Sunday I'm going to Vancouver for a week with my dancers. I have 6 dancers competing at the national championships, North American championships. And so I get to travel a ton with it. And I actually judge. I'm a judge now. So I judge competitions all across the world.
Do you just vote for your students? She had to
take an exam.
No, you can't judge your own students. I know. Imagine that.
Yeah.
I remember she had to take an exam for that.
Yes, I took an exam for that. So I've gotten to travel quite a bit with that as well. Actually, I went to New Zealand 2 years ago, which was amazing. And I was in Chicago last week. So I travel a ton with that. So like there's lots of really... amazing perks to the job that probably most people wouldn't think, oh, you're an Irish dancing teacher, but it's actually like, it's a really cool job.
What, it sounds like it. What are the championships like? Is it like the cheerleading championships and Bring It On?
Yeah, times 100 probably. Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's brutal, huh?
And the wigs and the costumes.
And the dance moms.
And the dance moms.
Yeah. So is there a few like, you know, gang battles and stuff like that from like different studios and things like that?
Yeah.
There
I'm
is?
Not going to lie, there is.
Oh my God, tell me about that.
Yeah, that would be a good show. I mean, it's like definitely like parents are... living vicariously through their kids, you know, maybe they weren't the dancers. So, no, I have great parents in my school. I have great parents, very supportive, very supportive.
You guys are amazing. We love you.
but yeah, there definitely is a little bit of like, everyone wants their kid to win. Come on. Everyone wants their kid to win.
Yeah.
So, and there's only one winner. So it's a numbers game. So next week I go to Canada and we will have, I'll have kids in competitions where there's 120 to 150 kids in the competition and 50 of them are going to go to the recall round. So like, you know, it's very competitive.
Yeah. How is the devastation if they don't make it to the recall round or don't place? Are they terribly upset?
Yeah, they're terribly upset. They put
sometimes
a lot of work in.
Sometimes more than the kids.
Definitely.
How do you handle that? Do you...
That's a really hard thing to learn how to deal with as a teacher. Like, I know, like I know already going the expectation, you know, so you have to kind of, but you can't say to a kid going next week, I don't think you're going to recall because you want to fill them with confidence so they believe they can. Cause who knows, right? Maybe they will, maybe they will. There's a slight chance, but there's different levels. So like if they're at a certain level, there's more of a guarantee they will. If they're at a lower level, it's like a 50-50 chance. Mm. But I always encourage my kids. I just say, keep working hard. I think that failing in Irish dance is probably a life lesson for them that they learn, you know, because like everybody fails in life at some stage. So by not recalling in this one competition, if they throw an absolute like strop, I'll be like, come on. Like, you know, I don't really put up with it. I'll be like, okay, I know you're disappointed, but you know, it's not the end of the world. There's always next year. We can work harder. We can get better.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of way.
Are there some kids that you kind of go, look, I just know that you're never going to reach a particular height? I mean, you don't have
that
to say
that. Was actually
it.
One of my questions. Really? As well. So I love that.
Like, I mean, because being a teacher, like, just like being a coach or a manager of a sporting event, is you got to.
They have what it takes, or
person.
They don't.
You
yeah,
have,
there's definitely, I mean, there's definitely, when you see kids coming in and want to take your class, and then a kid walks in and their feet are completely turned out and their legs are like really, really toned and they're the right body type, you're like, oh my God, amazing. This kid's going to go like far, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there's other kids that come in and maybe their feet are a little bit like pigeon-toed, and that's not always the best for Irish dancing, you know? But I really do think anyone can get there if they really, really want it and they really, really train for it. Like, it's going to be harder for them. Absolutely. They're going to have to do way more work than somebody else might have to do. But is everyone going to be a world champion? No.
Yeah.
Like, they're not.
Is that when, say, for example, genetics comes into play?
Yeah, I think I definitely think there is a little bit of genetics. In Irish dancing, like the Irish dancers, the dancers from Ireland tend to dominate the results still, you know, which...
Mm. Was that a cultural thing as well? Like they grew up with
that? Oh yeah, they grew up with it. They grew up with it and they compete a lot more, and it's more, they have more opportunities over there to to dance and compete. And they're just like, I don't think it's biased that they're winning. They generally are better. Although there are tons of great American dancers now, like, and Australian and whatever. It's definitely changed, but
of course Australian. Yeah.
Australian. But
and American.
Yes.
Yes, and American.
But mainly Australian and Irish.
And American.
All right,
American. And Irish.
Yes. We can keep doing this 5 minutes.
Yeah. So
they're from Czechoslovakia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
No, seriously, mainland Europe is blown up with
actually, no, I know, because I saw the Irish dancing documentary.
Yeah.
And you see people from Russia and they're really good. Yeah. So Russia, that wasn't a dig. I was just trying to get away from
South
Ireland,
America now.
Australia and America.
What is it that's ignited this passion for the river dance and Irish dancing and all that sort of stuff? Like,
is it because it's an enigma?
Well, I think river dance highlighted Irish dancing. Like, it highlighted it. It made it, it made it sexy. It made it like a career. It made it this show. It made it like not, oh, you're an Irish dancer. You just go, you know, like, exactly. People say, oh, you do that, whatever.
Do you guys know the cores?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it's a very unique kind of dancing. And I think that's why I said, I think it's a bit of an enigma. This is why I wanted to try it, because I used to watch River Dance and I said, I have no idea how the feet are flapping that fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I wanted to learn that skill, because I said it must be a special skill, and why are the feet flapping like that? And then I go to class and I was like, oh, it's just that. Not an enigma anymore, but still, it's so much fun. They look like they're having fun.
Yeah.
Well, you have to smile the whole time, don't you?
In some parts. Some parts you're meant to look...
depressed.
Dour.
Fierce.
Fierce. Oh, I like that. Yeah. You're like, fierce. Yeah. Just have to look fierce. going back to people doing it, you hear a lot about a lot of sports, the youth are declining in a lot of sports, say, for example, National Football League, like NFL, and things like that, because of all the new studies that come out where people can get seriously, seriously hurt, like concussion and things like that. And kids are now being, I guess, guided into different vocations and things like that. Like, a lot of people are going to football or, say, soccer.
Yeah.
And do you think that is an element to it as well? Like, you know,
that is the case. I thought Stephen said something different. Stephen, it was an LA Dodger we had on, and he says it's actually more competitive now than ever.
Really? Well,
you remember?
Do you mean, was he just talking about baseball though?
No, sports in general.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know it's more competitive because they've monetized all of the younger. And so that's where the competition comes in, because of the potential for money.
Yeah.
But I do know, especially for certain sports in Australia, which, like, there's concussion and you've got these little kids competing against these just genetically bigger children, and it's not as fun anymore. Kid, people are getting hurt. And so a lot of people are being pushed over to playing not as dangerous a sport for kids. And then that affects the numbers. But in regards to competition, I think it's because it's become more money. There's a lot more money in it and stuff like that. So Yeah, it's. I mean, it could be a combination of both, but
I think people are realizing now that it can actually be a career choice as opposed to back in the day. Yeah. It was, you know, you might be great at football, American football, but you're not going to do it. You're going to give that up. Yeah. Whereas now there are so many different ways to get, like Stephen was saying, you know, to be in the MLB.
Yeah. Well, honestly, with that whole conversation, I just think in general, there's way too much pressure on younger kids nowadays. Like,
oh yeah,
what 6 or 7 or 8, 9, 10 year old really know, like, I don't believe that they know exactly what they want to do. And I think it's like parents saying, oh, they're really good at baseball, or they're going to get a scholarship into college. Push, push, push. Yeah. I think it's too much. I really do. I think there's a ton of pressure on younger people to be the best at everything.
Do you see that? And
yeah, I see that.
But yet now, which wasn't the case when we were growing up, people get an award for just
competing.
Oh yeah.
And so you have that where people aren't as competitive, because if they come in last, you're still going to be celebrated.
Yeah. Which a lot of people.
So maybe are like, maybe it's just a select group of.
Well, so one parent said this to me about Irish dance. They were like, I love that in Irish dance, you don't get an award. If you don't place, you don't place. There's no like pity award or
pity award.
Like, there's not like, that it is quite competitive in that sense. Like if you don't do good, then you're out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you had any students where you knew that they really had the potential and then they're like, meh, I'm going to give it up. I don't want to do it.
I have a lot of really, really talented kids, and to be the best in Irish dancing and to go like I'm talking, like if you want to be like in the top 10 at the World Championships, it is a full commitment. It is like everything, like training every day of the week. Like there's no room for anything else. There is no room for anything else.
And so what is the hope for, like, for instance, you and others, you know, you join a dance troupe. Would this be the goal for them, is to, if they place, then they can, they're more visible to a dance troupe?
Oh, yeah, totally. Because that's your credentials then to get you even looked at, right? So, and I think kids see our younger teenagers and young adults now, they want to get into the show because you get to travel the world. You know, you get to travel the world doing what you love. And it's people now, I think lately a lot of people are only going into Riverdance or Lords of Dance and staying for like 2 or 3 years and then saving some money and putting themselves through college, which is a smart thing to do now, I think. Whereas when in my time, a lot of us stayed in it for quite a while, you know, but again, we just didn't think it was going to last, you know. So
So if you had gone to college, what do you think you would have studied?
Oh my God, I don't know. Like, I think I at the time wanted to do like business studies or something.
So
what
different.
Would I be doing?
So different. I just see you like tapping your feet while you're studying.
But what about now? Do you have any other interests? Katarina, for instance, she became a designer and she had always had a proclivity towards that. Is there something else that you would like to do as well as this?
No, like I'm quite content doing what I'm doing. I wish I had a business degree because that would help me with running my studio. I feel like
I think you're learning on the job, and that's the best education you can
get. Exactly.
I am learning from mistakes. A lot.
Well, that's how you learn. I mean, do you have any friends who have started their own business that you can kind of, you know?
Yeah, like I have tons.
Whisper in their ear, like, help me, damn it.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends from Riverdance that have done the same thing that I have done, you know. So I have one friend that, like, we call each other all the time and I'm like, what did you do about this? Or, you know, so I've got a good network of people to bounce ideas off and just, you know, chat about it and figure things out.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's very good. What else?
How do you balance your life? Like, what is the balance? Because you teach a lot and you...
Right now, because my fiance is not here, I'm putting a lot of time into the studio. And I feel like in any, because it is only 5 years now, I feel like in any new kind of thing, you do devote a lot of your time to it. But like, I'm happy doing it, you know? So it's not like...
It's not like it's work.
It's not like it's work. Like, I'm not there going, get me out of here, I need to leave in 10 minutes. In fact, I'm always, always, always run over. I always run over.
Actually, I remember that.
Yes. I know. And one parent said to me, and there's something I have to learn, American parents are very Well, they're busy. They're busy moms. They're busy dads. They're working. They've other kids. So they're on a like a timetable. So when I run over by 15, 20 minutes, I think I'm giving them extra time. But they're, what I'm doing is putting their day out. So, so I really need to like watch it. I'm like, I'm such a good teacher. I'm giving you an extra 20 minutes.
For you're free. Having come
for
on
free.
Now.
And they're like, hurry on.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember? I thought the kids got more special treatment because I used to make you, used to make them do like leg lifts and squats and all
oh,
this.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, oh, we're so the adults don't have to do that. I was like, why?
Yeah, you can do that.
Well, I don't know. I always just wanted to get in there and just yeah.
Just do your thing.
Yes.
Dance up a storm, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel good though? Don't you feel good after you dance?
Yes.
It's the best feeling.
It really is. Yeah. It's very freeing.
Yeah.
Although my one thing, I just still remember this, you and Katarina. It's like, you were great, except your right arm just cut that flinging out. Because it's hard. How did you get to, what do you, like paper under your arms?
Oh,
or
yeah,
ruler?
I put like bands behind their back and
oh, God.
Tie them up, you know, all the
handcuffs,
stuff. I'm not all
that
the
kind of thing.
Stuff that I could probably be put in jail for.
I'm joking. As in doing it for kids and stuff like that. Is it like, say, getting into river dance or something like that? Is that very lucrative?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's there's very little spots and a ton of people looking for it. So,
like financially lucrative?
Oh, lucrative as well. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Does a union protect you?
No.
Ooh.
Oh.
No.
I don't. Yeah.
So, that was one thing I wish had been done back in the day for Riverdance, that there was a union set up for Irish dancers. And I think there's an opening for us. There is no union for Irish dancers. So we could be, when we were on tour, our band is represented by the union. So they are getting, if they run over, you guys know the union, if on a load-in day they work extra, they were constantly getting paid more than us. Or if our travel day went longer or a flight or anything like that, they were compensated, whereas we weren't. But it was lucrative in the sense that you had no bills. You were on the road, you got catering, you had your you got your per diem. So you could live off your per diem. So all your wages, for the most part, you could save.
Yeah.
You know?
It kind of sounds like you're on like set, basically, yeah. Especially if it's your location.
Yeah.
Like everything's all
yeah.
paid for.
Yeah.
Like I remember when I was doing Spartacus, I would just take food home from set.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was my dinner. Yeah. I would just take that food home.
Yeah.
And then
and just spend your per diem and you can like your salary you would save.
Yeah,
you were
totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I wish I saved more, but yeah.
Oh, well, you and me both because, yeah.
That's a learning curve.
It is a learning curve. Everybody out there, if you come into a lot of money,
save your
money or invest in property.
Yes, that's
good
what
property.
Everybody.
Yes, good property.
Everybody says, if you could say, people ask me that sometimes, what would you do differently if you could go back? I'd be like, oh my God, it would just save so much money. But you were kind of living the high life. So then, like.
Well, you just don't know as well.
Yeah.
You didn't know at that time.
Also, I mean, life is short.
Yes, life is short. That's the excuse everybody that loses
yeah.
their money,
yeah,
money
yeah.
gives. Life's short. That's why I spent all my money. That's right. That's what I did.
I bought toys.
You can always
yes.
make more. Isn't
yes.
that what people say? And
yeah.
I'm like, really?
It does grow on trees.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
I have one in the backyard.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. A money
yeah.
tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So what other things would you change or
you change anything?
Yeah, would you not necessarily change about life, but just say, for example, if you were like, if you now are in charge of Riverdance, what would you do differently for the new batch of dancers? As you said, a union for
a
the
union.
Dancers and things like
hands
that.
Hands down, a union. They yeah. absolutely should be. They should be as protected as any of the band members, as anybody. They like. They are the main focus of the show. I think it's an injustice that they don't have it.
But is there insurance if somebody gets hurt? Like when you broke your wrists?
Oh, yeah. Like they take care of you in that sense.
Okay.
Absolutely. But yeah, like I think it would be, I think it'd be great to have like, or even an agent for Irish dancers. Cause like there's not going to be loads of roles that come up for an Irish dancer, but maybe there'll be like a role in a commercial or in one. I actually taught an actress. Her name is Caitlin Thompson. She's in This Is Us.
Oh,
do you know the girl?
I think
plays
so.
The skinny girl that's in the. Do you watch This Is Us?
No, but I've seen a couple of episodes.
So I taught her.
It's a very happy show.
Yeah. So I taught her. Oh my God, get the Kleenex out. She needed to learn Irish dancing for a movie she was doing in Ireland. So like I taught her and like things like that. I think there should be representation for dancers, you know, that maybe every now and then that role does come up and there's.
Well, there are dance agencies for stunts.
Not specific, though, for Irish.
I smell a side hustle. I smell a side hustle.
The union or the agent?
Both.
Both,
you could just have multiple businesses.
I could see you being an agent for Irish, an advocate for Irish dancers.
Yeah, I think I've seen commercials. There was a Folgers commercial years ago. The coffee.
I remember that one. Oh, that was like, such a fun commercial.
Yeah.
She will not get out of bed for $20,000.
But I think they come up randomly enough every now and then, you know, so I'd like that. And I think that's for the professional side. I think that would be great. And I'd love for competitive Irish dance to be recognized more as like
a sport,
as a sport, maybe even televised. Like it is unbelievable. Like an Olympic sport. It's the same dedication.
Yeah, no, that's true. Well, could you have it as an Olympic sport?
Could you?
I don't know. You're the expert here.
I mean, I think
How would you judge that? I guess the same as the...
Maybe more fairly. It's very subjective. I feel like if it was more structured and you got certain points for certain
like
things...
Like gymnastics,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It would be more... it might be looked on better, you know?
That would be cool. I would totally watch that during the Olympics.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But wouldn't you watch it just anyway if it was on?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Commercial. I usually just, you know, walk away from a commercial. Oh, you know, there's a commercial. I'm going to go get my Coke from the fridge.
Yeah.
But I just remember thinking, it's the Folgers commercial. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally watch that.
No way. We're going to get him to dance.
No, that would be so embarrassing.
Push yourself outside the box. Outside your comfort zone.
What's in the box? Yes, yes. I'm sure we'll do that one day for...
Well, come by any Thursday
dance
night.
Thing.
Yes, come and do a
adult classes Thursdays.
Yeah,
cocktail after.
Yeah.
And then bring that and you'll get more information out of me.
Yeah. That is true.
We're just going to have a secret camera.
Yes.
To record everything.
Absolutely. Where are you located?
At Vineland Avenue, right behind Burbank Airport.
Oh, that's right. You did say that. Yeah. And do you have a website?
I do have a website, Celtic Irish Dance Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
.com.
Yeah. Sorry.
But is it an acronym? Is it CIDA or is it just Celtic Irish Dance Academy.com.
But we do actually call the school CIDA. We call it, like the kids call it CIDA.
Oh, that's cool.
We brand everything by CIDA.
That sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds good. CIDA.
Yeah. CIDA.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool.
And also for anybody listening, I do follow Maeve and CIDA on Instagram. So if you go follow a whole lot of people. So if you go and just look them up.
What are your handles? For your social media? You don't have to say yours, but you can
CIDA, Celtic Irish Dance Academy on Instagram, on Facebook. Actually, Create NoHo is what I'm working on branding the studio at for rentals, because I have the space is not used all the time. So I'm trying to rent it out to different types of dance. I have a huge space, a great studio. Built up the floor. It's really nice, you know, and there's tons of parking. So I've been trying to bring more talent in and just rent out space and just have like a real, real fun space of all different types of dance. I really would love that. So that's Create NoHo on Instagram. And then mine is Maeve Crook.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes, thank you guys. It was
for
so fun
today.
It was, I loved hearing all that. And I can't wait to read your book.
Yes.
What's it? Sex, Drugs, and River Dance? Is that what we're calling it?
I literally have been saying this for so long.
That is the name of this podcast episode.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's so good, right? Yeah.
Even though we don't talk about sex or
drugs. People will see the title and be like, oh my God, and then listen to it like, no, there's nothing in there. Oh my God.
Teaser.
Yes, yes, yes.
No, they'll have to listen to just mine and your podcast. This the private one that we have.
Yeah, that we'll have. Yeah, we'll talk about.
People have to pay for.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Hear all the disgusting some foul stories from our lives. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time and coming and having a chat with us.
And it's so lovely to see you again.
You too.
You're as gorgeous as ever.
Oh, likewise. Thank you.
Stop it, you too.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you so much.
You too, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And good luck with the rest of everything with the dancing.
Amazing. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks very much, guys. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.